Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we are back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as promised, our special guest is our good friend Dan Pink. Dan is a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust and has been since its inception. And let me tell you a little bit about him, though. Dan was the chief speechwriter for Vice President Al Gore. In that position, he was the lead writer on all of the Vice President's major domestic speeches. He was also a member of the Vice President's 1996 debate preparation team. And he worked also at the White House. Before he worked, I should say, at the White House, he served 2 years as speechwriter and a special assistant to U.S. Secretary of Labor, Robert Reich. He received a B.A. with honors in linguistics from Northwestern University. He also was elected to Phi Beta Kappa. He is an attorney with a Yale Law degree, which he is very happy to say that he's never actually used. He is the contributing editor to Fast Company magazine, which is an outstanding magazine. And that's how I met him, through an article in that magazine that he wrote called Free Agent Nation. And we've talked about that before, but he's just a great resource and a lot of fun. And he's got a story in the new, in the current edition, the February-March edition of Fast Company, called The Brand Called UK. This is a story about the United Kingdom and how they're trying to retool their image over there. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you back. And folks, I mentioned my trivia questions earlier, and I asked if someone would call in and sing for me Blueberry Hill. I found my thrill in Blueberry Hill. We actually have music to back you up with that, if you like. And the reason I would really like for someone to do that is because Dan has offered to sing himself. And I've heard Dan sing before, and so I really would appreciate if a member of my audience would save us the embarrassment of having Dan sing for us. So if you would, give us a call and do that. And if you will...
Actually, I don't think it's just an embarrassment. I think it might be an FCC violation if I'm allowed to sing
in the
airwaves.
Well, I was concerned about that, too. If you'll do any of that, answer the trivia question or sing the song, I'm going to send you a copy of Jim Donovan's book, This Is Your Life, Not a Dress Rehearsal. Dan, what in the world made you write a story about branding the UK? Where'd that come from?
Well, I was intrigued by the idea that countries and governments are applying some of the hard-earned lessons of business in the last 10 years, and had this had been a fairly prominent issue in the United Kingdom, which had a pretty stale, musty image.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some upstarts, some young upstarts, some older upstarts, who said, we need to get out of, this is not who we are. We are not a country of entirely of teas and scones and bad weather. We are becoming a very different country, but the world doesn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like any other kind of business that tried to retool its image, Great Britain started retooling its own image through a whole variety of means. And that opens up a whole set of questions about how countries identify themselves. And it turns out that this notion, this contemporary notion of rebranding, actually goes pretty deep into any nation's history, because any nation has a whole set of artifacts and images and words and even music,
mm-hmm,
that identifies what makes that country unique.
Well, you know, we all remember, and not all of us, you may not, you probably don't, but I do, remember the British invasion of 1964,
mm-hmm,
65,
mm-hmm,
and with the Beatles and Jerry and the Pacemakers and the Dave Clark Five and the Herman's Hermits and all those guys. That is definitely British, isn't it?
Oh, sure, right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But I think that when people, you know, I think people are surprised. I mean, I was surprised when I went over there that the United Kingdom had such an incredible high-tech presence.
Mm-hmm.
That it was not a country that entirely white. On the contrary, it was a very, very kind of racially diverse country with immigrants starting new businesses and a whole mosaic of races and accents and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And much, you know, much less fusty than you would have expected.
Now,
some of the best advertising and design firms in the world are located in London. So, I mean, so in a way, the leaders of Great Britain, particularly a guy who I wrote about named Jeff Mulgan, a young guy who now works for Prime Minister Tony Blair, said, you know, our image has not caught up to our reality, so it's time to move our image.
Now, he was motivated to do something about this, wasn't he? I mean there's somebody, and one of the things that I like to talk about on the show, Dan, is how one person can make a difference in a lot of people's lives, maybe a country, maybe the entire world, how one person can make a difference. And all the things that you and I were talking about a minute ago about all these conceptions and misconceptions about England, about any culture, any country, if you're going to change that, it's got to happen with people. And this guy, Jeff Mulgan, he had a dream about changing the image of the UK, didn't he?
Yeah, he really did. And even more broadly, he started a think tank in the United Kingdom about, I don't know, 8 years ago, thinking that the foundation for any kind of change, whether it's political change or business change, is a set of new ideas. And he really brought in some smart people who really took a hard look at the entire nation and said, you know, what can be the foundations of a new Britain for a new century?
What was he trying to accomplish, though? I mean, what direct benefit was he trying to accomplish in this activity?
Well, the direct benefit is that if the United Kingdom's, let's call it brand equity, if its brand equity is strong and deep, then that is valuable to any business operating out there. Mm-hmm. For instance, he has this notion of what he calls an identity premium. Mm-hmm. If a country is seen as smart and technologically able and on the cutting edge of various fields, then if you, Jim, are want to hire a designer and you have a choice of hiring a British designer or a Portuguese designer, you might go for the British designer because of the identity premium that it comes with being British.
Right. I want to talk about that identity premium in just a minute, folks. I've got some other examples I want to mention to him. And we're also going to talk about how, when he talks about rebranding the UK, does that include Ireland, Scotland, Wales? What does it include? 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dan Pink is our special guest. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And we're talking with our good friend Dan Pink. Dan is a contributing editor to Fast Company magazine, and he's got a new article in the February-March edition, which is about rebranding the UK, rebranding the United Kingdom, and that's what our discussion is about this hour. It's very interesting to me, and we've got a lot of things that we're going to be talking about as we go into the hour that connects back to the United States. But I really, Dan, I've read all of your pieces and that have been in Fast Company magazine, and this, I'm not going to say this is one of the best.
I don't think my own family has read all my pieces.
I'm not going to say this is one of the best because they're all excellent, but this has been a very interesting one to me because I don't consider myself to be an Anglophile, but I am interested in what's going on over there, and I traveled over there about a year and a half ago. I'd been over there earlier once about 10 years or so ago, but I like the idea that of this identity premium. And one of the things that I like to talk about to audiences is something that people say now is a cliche, and that's paradigms, how we view the world through our paradigms. And one of the things Joel Barker says is in some of his stuff is that 40 years ago, if you said made in Japan, you thought cheap, inferior quality. Mm-hmm. Today, if you say made in Japan, you think more expensive and high quality. And so that paradigm has shifted. And so now, at least, and maybe not today, I guess maybe today, but especially over the last few years, if you saw something that said made in Japan, the company that was able to put that on their product received an identity premium in their price, didn't they?
Sure.
And that's what you're talking about when you talk about an identity premium. They're trying to get an identity premium for the UK, aren't they?
That's right, right. It works the same as take a Armani bag.
Yeah.
I mean, bags are bags generally, but if you put the Armani brand on it, then you can charge more for it.
Right. Now, one of the things that you identified in your article was the old slogan of Rule Britannia, which mm-hmm. is actually the title of an unofficial national anthem, right?
Right.
And then, but Jeff wants to change that to something else. Tell us what that is.
What he calls Cool Britannia. again, Great Britain used to be a massive military power with a fleet of ships, and the British flag was planted in all parts of the globe. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that kind of country anymore,
right?
For better or worse. So you don't. So all of the accoutrements of a country's identity need to catch up to the reality of what that country is.
Mm-hmm.
So a kind of military style song, Rule Britannia, isn't quite right for the current state of England. I mean, England is not exactly a military power these days.
Right.
However, it is becoming a technology power. It is becoming a design and media power, and it is becoming very much a polyglot nation in a world that is becoming a polyglot world. So, I mean, Britain is pretty well positioned to do well in the next century. The problem is that all of its songs and logos and national images were a little bit musty. Someone had kept them up in the attic all for 100 years and never really checked on them.
Now, when it's hard to watch television or read magazines these days without seeing something, some kind of an advertisement for the Emerald Isle, for Ireland,
mm-hmm.
and Vacation Ireland and the beautiful scenery and all that. But that focuses a lot on tourism, and rebranding the UK is a lot about tourism, but it's really not just about tourism. I mean, as you said, the folks who are behind this are trying to get the world focused on not just tourism in the UK, but on all the products that are available.
Right, exactly. It includes tourism, but it's more than that. But even Ireland has recast its image in a way into what it calls a Celtic tiger.
Right,
and that's largely because of technology. I mean, the Ireland probably has more technology companies now than it had even 5 years ago, and it's a very different place. I mean, our image is of this pastoral land with these beautiful green pastures and a pub in every corner,
right.
But it's a very different place. I mean, you walk down the streets of Ireland these days and you hear the clickety clack of the computer keyboard.
Right. All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break. Dan, stand by. Folks, when we come back, I want Dan to tell us about how the two political parties, the Conservatives and Labour, which is now in power, how they reconciled all this in their platforms. It's going to be a very interesting part of our conversation. 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Dan Pink. Dan is contributing editor to Fast Company magazine, and we're talking about his most recent piece in that magazine in the February-March edition of Fast Company, which is called The Brand Call UK. We're talking about the rebranding of the United Kingdom, of England and all the isles over there, and the desire by a number of people in England to make England seem, when you think of England, when you get an image of England, that you don't think of them as this stodgy old, mildewy, damp, foggy type of country. And, you know, Dan, I was over there, as I said, about 18 months ago. I was in England and in Scotland. I actually did something I'd always wanted to do. I drove across England into Scotland. I drove 1,300 miles on the wrong side of the road for a week there, and got to go to the see Stonehenge, something I'd always wanted to see, mm-hmm. and drove all over Scotland, and I found the people once again. The last time I was there, I was only in England. Only in London.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually got out into the countryside this time, and everyone that I met was nice to me and mm-hmm. friendly and mm-hmm. helpful. I couldn't have asked for any. Everyone was wonderful.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that if anybody wonders how nice the people are in England, if you've never been there, they're nice. Maybe downtown London is a little different, just like downtown New York might be a little bit different than being out in flyover America. But it's a great country over there. But I will say that there's one thing that they're going to have to work on. I don't know how they're going to solve this problem.
What's that?
All the stuff that you know about English food, folks, is true. Now, they, in your article, Dan, you talk about the...
I didn't find that as true at all in London.
Well, no, okay, but see, I don't give you credit for the ethnic restaurants.
You're right.
There are wonderful ethnic restaurants in London.
But
see, I'm talking about the indigenous food, like a hamburger and fries over here.
Yeah.
You go out in the country, they're wonderful people, but if you don't like fish and chips, you're in trouble.
That's ugly. I was there for about a week, and easily the worst meal that I had was a meal at one of the most famous fish and chip places in London.
Yeah, I happen to like fish and chips, folks. So I eat a lot of that when I was there. But let me tell you this: if you go north, don't eat the haggis. You don't even want to know what it's made of. But don't eat the haggis. That's all I got to say about that. Okay, let's move on. We were talking about Jeff Mogan, who is the person that you were basically talking about in your article, and he started his think tank called Demos, where he's trying to retool or redesign the image of the UK. But he did this during the time when the Conservatives were in power.
Mm-hmm.
They're not
mm-hmm.
in power anymore.
Right.
The Labour Party's in power. The Liberals, what we would consider over here to be the Liberal Party. Now, typically, you don't, and I know you probably don't agree with me here, Dan, but typically, when you think of liberals, you think of labor. You don't think of business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But Tony Blair's new party, his party over there, his new administration, has been, surprisingly to me, very pro-business, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that Blair himself has rejected that it's a choice between one or the other. But especially compared to the old Labour Party, I mean, Tony Blair is a different animal altogether, and he really dug his party out of the past. I mean,
they had their own image problems, didn't they?
They had severe image problems, and in a way, I mean, they had severe reality problems too.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, this think tank that Jeff Mulgan started, Demos, was designed to help kickstart the Labour Party out of the mud. For a long time, the Labour Party in Britain had a plank in their party constitution, essentially calling for state ownership of property.
Mm.
I mean, you know, something out of 70 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was really resisted innovation, resisted free trade, and so forth. And Tony Blair, to his credit, said, "We cannot be a modern country. We cannot without a modern economy, and having a modern economy requires a modern workforce." So I think Tony Blair is probably the most popular single politician in the West, and part of it is that he has said, you know, you don't have to make a choice between something being good for business and something being good for labor.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I think of the Conservatives in England, the more I think about this, I'm glad that your article has caused me to focus on this a little bit. The irony to me is that with Tony Blair in charge of the Labour Party over there, which is in charge of the government, the opportunity to rebrand the UK may be greater with the Labour Party than it would have been with the Conservative Party. Is that an irony that you'd agree with?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that Prime Minister Thatcher made a few steps in this direction, but you know, for all of her accomplishments, and it's true that the Labour Party and Tony Blair himself really hold her up as a model, not necessarily mm-hmm. of all of her policies, but of her
right.
style of governing, and actually I think she's a pretty important figure in British history of the century. But you know, I think she and her government were a little bit stuck in the military-centered view of national life.
Right.
Now that with the Cold War over, there are different national priorities.
Okay, stand by, Dan. Folks, it's 39 after. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to get Dan to talk to us about how the monarchy fits in all this, in the rebranding of the UK. And we've got a lot of other stuff to talk about, too. 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And Dan Pink is our special guest. And Dan, you have a website, don't you?
I sure do. It's www.freeagentnation.com.
Which is the title of his book that he's working on that's going to be coming out and that he promised me you and I would hear about first when it's actually published. We might get him to talk about that just a little bit later in the hour, but I recommend you check that out, folks. That's a very interesting book. We've talked about that on the show before, and I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm still waiting on someone to call in, like someone did last hour, and sing a little bit, just a little short bit of I Found My Thrill on Blueberry Hill. If you don't do that, folks, I'm going to have to let Dan sing, and I tell you, I don't think we want that to happen. So somebody give me a call. If you'll call me and do that, I'll send you a copy of Jim Donovan's book, This Is Your Life, Not a Dress Rehearsal. Dan, let's move over a little bit. Oh, a couple of things I want to bring up before we get into the reality check of all this with rebranding the UK. One of the things that Jeff said, the principal character in your article, was that at least once a week he gets outside of London to visit job centers and checking on the progress of programs that he oversees. And this is a quote from him in your article. I don't believe you can trust what the system is telling you unless you check it out yourself. Now, that's very wise words from someone who is who started a think tank. That's the kind of thing that I recommend business owners, especially small business owners, really focus on. That's what we call MBWA, management by walking around. You got to check it on the ground yourself to make sure that the information you're getting back is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that part of it. The other part of the article, one other part that I liked, is you talked about Britain, some of the stories of the future. You were talking about some of the benefits of Britain. You said Britain is a silent revolutionary, and some of the things that they've invented, for example, Parliament, post offices, and privatizations. And one of the things that I wrote down beside that was the roundabouts. I like
mm-hmm.
the roundabouts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Folks, roundabouts, they're in most of England, there are no intersections. As you and I know it, there are roundabouts. And as Dan said, there are roundabouts in Washington, D.C. That's the only other place I know of there as being any roundabouts. But this is where all the traffic comes together in a nice little confluence, and you merge in and you merge out, and there are no red lights. And everybody has to slow down to go get into the roundabout. And so even if you have a wreck in a roundabout, you're not going very fast. And I say that that's one of the greatest inventions that England ever came up with, because if we had roundabouts, there would be thousands and tens of thousands of people still alive in America today that had gotten killed in an intersection. Anyway, that's
yeah. No, I think it's a good point. And again, I mean, it also goes to each country's notions of what the proper pace of life is.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's talk about one of the things that you got to on the last page of your article was about the identity meets reality. The identity that Jeff wants his company to country to have meets reality, and there were some wrecks there, weren't there, when those two met.
Sure.
One of the things is the monarchy.
Yeah, I mean the monarchy is in many ways the embodiment of the kind of mustiness we associate with England. And one of the things that forced this whole notion of rebranding into Britain's national conversation was the death of Princess Diana, and in particular the rest of the royal family's very remote response to that. And Tony Blair, to his credit, really stepped up and spoke to the yearnings and ideals of England at that moment, and actually Demos think tank is working on what is the role of a monarchy in an information economy, and in a Britain that's very different from the Britain that the United States revolted against 220 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well,
in many ways Princess Diana was. Princess Diana embodied some of these elements of the New Britain,
mm-hmm.
that she was young and she was cosmopolitan. And in a way, she started refashioning Britain's identity too, because people around the world associate, when they thought of Great Britain, they thought of her.
Even though she was not even married to the heir apparent.
Right.
And
in fact, her popularity soared when she left, when they broke up.
You know, I made this comment, and I was there. I was actually in the British Isles a week after her funeral. That was when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
She was buried on a Friday, I think, and I was there the next Friday. And the thing that I found that I said was that it's just amazing the impact the positive impact that she could have continued to have, mm-hmm. you know, if she could have lived a long life, it would have been a very beneficial thing. And what, and to me, that was the just added to the tragedy of her death.
Sure.
But one of the things is culture. The American culture is something that changes very quickly. You and I know that our culture changes seemingly every 90 days or so. Our national culture, certainly, our culture is significantly different than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's not like that in most of the rest of the world, isn't it?
No, not as it's not. It's neither as big or loud or as swift as the changes are in the United States.
Yeah. Stand by, Dan. Folks, we'll take a quick break. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassing, the Small Business Advocate. Dan Pink is our special guest. We're talking about rebranding the UK. When we come back, we're going to talk about rebranding the U.S. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I want to remind you about some of our upcoming guests. Beverly Williams is going to be back with us coming up as our next guest, and she is going to be talking to us about home-based business issues. Rick Pinion is a financial planner. We're going to be talking again about how to work with a financial planner. John Fox, our resident attorney, is going to be with us. And I think he wants to talk about politics this week. I'm not sure why, but he's got something on his mind. Joan Pride is going to be back with us, the associate editor with the Kiplinger Letters, to conduct our Kiplinger Hour. That's coming up on Thursday. On Friday, Phil Nelman is going to be with us to talk about his new book called Startup Marketing, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Advertising, Marketing, and Promoting Your Business. And that same day, we're going to be talking to Kent Weekly about graphic design, how to use graphic design to promote your company. A lot of stuff coming up this week. Stay tuned. Dan Pink is our special guest. He is associate editor, a contributing editor, I should say, with Fast Company Magazine. His new article, which I recommend you check out, folks, is outstanding. I really like it a lot. It's called The Brand Called UK, and we've been talking about the rebranding of the United Kingdom. And Dan, America, does America need to rebrand itself? Does the United States need to rebrand itself? It seems to me that we rebrand ourselves every 90 days sometimes.
Yeah, I think that the United States writ large and Americans, you know, individual Americans have this incredible capacity to constantly reinvent themselves and reinvent how they do things. I think it's more in our blood and in our soul than in many other countries. So I don't think we need as much of a concerted effort. I mean, the headline in this story, A Brand Called UK, is actually a play on a headline from a story in Fast Company about a year ago called The Brand Called You, mm-hmm. about how individuals need to start thinking of themselves as a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a notion that a lot of Americans find very easy to, very understandable and easy to take.
I like that connection and that example, Dan, because whereas America has very little problem rebranding itself, changing its paradigms, and shifting around, and we're known for that because of the way this country was actually put together,
mm-hmm.
and we don't understand why other countries don't accept our way of looking at the world, yet as individuals sometimes we have a hard time rebranding ourselves.
Yeah.
We're stuck in the mud while the country that we live in is racing by us.
Yeah, I mean, what Great Britain did is somewhat reminiscent of what the city of New York did 20 years ago with
yeah.
their I Love New York campaign.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
And that's, you know, that was in the 1970s, so Great Britain is, you know, 20 years behind the U.S.
I've just got a minute, Dan, but in your Free Agent Nation research for the book that you've got coming out, and I want you to come back and tell us more about that in the near future, what have you found? Have you found Americans ready to rebrand themselves? What have you found with
your research? I think so. I mean, I think that people recognize that how they work and where they work at a given moment is not necessarily going to be how they work and where they work 5 years from now, 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And that we need to have a greater capacity to change swiftly, both what we do and how we do it.
And you know, the emotions that I have, and I think a lot of Americans have when they contemplate what you just said, is fear and excitement.
Right.
Excitement about where it could go, but fear about, am I going to be up to the keeping up with all this?
That's exactly right. And those two emotions are very hard to disentangle.
Yeah.
The other side of that is in the old world of work, You didn't have any fear, but you didn't have any excitement either.
That's exactly right. Good point. And that's got to be the last word, Dan. I've got to wrap it up for this hour. As always, you did a great job. I've really enjoyed visiting with you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir. We'll have you back again real soon.
Okay.
Dan Pink, folks. Stay tuned. We're going to have more of him in the weeks and months ahead. All right, got to go. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Treat it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.